Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. Today we are going to be looking at the July 2012 issue of the Ensign magazine. One of the cover stories on here was Covenants, Our Most Important Promises. It's an article that's found on page 22. It says, as the whole title, Understanding Our Covenants with God, an Overview of Our Most Important Promises. And if you know anything about Mormonism, you will know that they do make several covenants, one when they are baptized, and then others that come later on in their membership of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We feel that this article is so important that we want to go through this fairly meticulously because there are some important statements that are made here that I think if you are a Bible-believing Christian, you will easily recognize a glaring difference between the teachings of Mormonism and the teachings of the Christian faith. The article starts on page 22.
And before I start reading this article, Bill, I want to point out there is no author. There is no byline here. That's very rare. Usually, if it's going to be somebody major, they're going to make sure it's a First Presidency message or whatever it is. This one has nothing, which means it's from the church. And so here's what it says. As members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, explains President Thomas S. Monson, sacred covenants are to be revered by us, and faithfulness to them is a requirement for happiness. Yes, I speak of the covenant of baptism, the covenant of the priesthood, and the covenant of marriage as examples. End quote. In the church, an ordinance is a sacred formal act performed by the authority of the priesthood. Some ordinances are essential to our salvation. As part of these quote-unquote saving ordinances, we enter into solemn covenants with God. And then he says this, a covenant is a two-way promise, the conditions of which are set by God. When we enter into a covenant with God, we promise to keep those conditions. He promises us certain blessings in return. When we receive these saving ordinances and keep the associated covenants, the atonement of Jesus Christ becomes effective in our lives, and we can receive the greatest blessing God can give us, eternal life. And then there's a note there says CD&C 14:7. And then the last part of this introduction, it says, because keeping our covenants is essential to our happiness now and to eventually receiving eternal life, it is important to understand what we have promised our Heavenly Father. The following is an overview of the covenants we make in association with saving ordinances and suggestions for where you can learn more.
Now, what I want to focus on, first of all, is the paragraph where it says, when we receive these saving ordinances and keep the associated covenants, the atonement of Jesus Christ becomes effective in our lives, and we can receive the greatest blessing God can give us, eternal life. Would you agree that that's the problem?
Yeah.
That is the problem.
Absolutely.
Now, you and I were out at the Mormon Miracle Pageant this last June, and we were talking to hundreds of Latter-day Saints, as we often do when we go do that outreach. You had a copy of this article with you, and you were asking Latter-day Saints at random how they were doing this. How were you approaching them and using this article, and what kind of response did you get?
Well, I was looking for a Latter-day Saint. I was speaking out loud, and I said, I'm looking for a Latter-day Saint who will help me understand this current article. And so a lot of people just passed by, and they would look kind of curiously because it was their magazine, and it was a current edition. And I would ask, have you read this article yet? No, most of them hadn't. Several said they did, but they wouldn't stop and talk to me. I said, I just asked some questions. And most of my questions stem from the paragraph you just read there. I mean, this idea that if you keep the associated covenants, the atonement of Jesus Christ becomes effective in our lives. And the reason I brought this out on the street is because the previous day, and I hadn't read this article yet, I read this in Manti, And the previous day, somebody had said that it was the atonement that made it all possible, and keeping covenants wasn't essential.
He said it wasn't essential.
He said the atonement will cover my sins and my errors. And so we had this conversation, and then I read this, and I said, I wish I would have had this in front of me, because I could have said, I could have pointed here, and it says, you must keep the covenants. Right. This is what the whole article says. Then the atonement comes in. It doesn't come before and take care of those issues. You have to do your end of the agreement, because a covenant, this two-way promise, it says, you have to keep your end of the bargain in order to receive what God has promised. If you want God to be faithful in what he has promised, you've got to keep yours. That's what I was asking. And I did have one gentleman and his son, actually the son, a young son of about 12 years old, said, Dad, let's go over and talk to this guy and let's answer his questions. So we went through this and we were talking about this. And I said, here it says, then you can receive the greatest blessing God can give us, eternal life. And so we started to talk about this issue and I was showing this article to him. He had some disagreements with it, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
But don't you notice, though, when we are talking to Latter-day Saints, that oftentimes they do tend to think that somehow God is going to allow them to slip through the cracks, that all these threats that they read, for instance, in the Book of Mormon or in the Doctrine and Covenants when it comes to keeping my commandments continually, and if you don't, where God is, you cannot go, or the idea that God cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. Mormons all seem to know about those verses, but they all give you the impression, after they've admitted that they're not doing that, that somehow their God is going to overlook their personal sins. But at the same time, they give the impression he's not going to overlook your sins or my sins, because we're not a part of the Mormon church, maybe. I don't know what they're thinking on this. But isn't that kind of a dangerous thinking? I mean, and what does this say about the Mormon God? He sounds like he's some mean-spirited manipulator. He throws out all these threats. But if any Mormon gets into the celestial kingdom, and I've actually said this to Latter-day Saints, if any Mormon somehow ends up in the celestial kingdom who did not keep all their covenants, did not truly repent of all their sins, and did not keep all of the commandments, all three of those every Mormon knows they're supposed to do, but as I've said many times, I've never met a Mormon who's done them all. If somebody gets into the celestial kingdom and doesn't do all those things, then that shows that their God was really lying. He never had any intention of keeping them to his word and making him live up to those high standards, because no Mormon's doing it.
Now, notice what it said the following paragraph, what we just read, because keeping our covenants is essential to our happiness now and to eventually receiving eternal life. I think we need to point out, Bill, that eternal life, receiving eternal life here is exaltation. This is receiving the celestial kingdom. And they had quoted D&C 14:7. What they're saying here in this article agrees with D&C 14:7, which says, and if you keep my commandments and endure to the end, you shall have eternal life, which gift is the greatest of all the gifts of God, which I find interesting. They call that a gift.
Right.
When you're keeping your end of the bargain, it's a wage. It's not a gift.
Well, that's exactly what Paul would say. You know, if it becomes a transaction, it's something that you've actually earned. And that's the difficulty that we as Christians have with the way the Mormon church defines these terms that we have been using historically. They use the same terms, but of course the definitions are very different. And then they wonder why we don't believe, I guess is the way they're taking it. It's not that we're saying that they don't believe in a concept of grace or anything like that. It's just not a biblical concept of grace.
I was reading this part of the article to this gentleman I was talking about earlier in that third paragraph where it says, when we enter into a covenant with God, we promise to keep those conditions. And I asked the gentleman, I said, so have you kept your covenants? He goes, well, you know, I do the best I can. And then the idea of repentance came in. I acknowledge this, that I'm short on this. Well, I said, no, that's not talking about repentance in this article. It's about doing this. And I think the Mormon scriptures say it's possible to keep the commandments. They've been made very clear what they are, and God's not going to give commandments you can't keep. So with that as a background, I said, I'm just trying to understand. You said, it says here you have to keep the covenant, And you're saying you don't always keep them. You promise, though, every week in sacrament. And we got into that a little more. But I think this is a very important to set this article up well. We have to understand a covenant is not just something you do and then just willingly break it or unwillingly. You break it. It's a two-way promise. God can take away his blessing, it says.
Well, you had mentioned earlier about this ability to keep all the commandments. That's exactly what the Book of Mormon says a Mormon should be able to do when you look at 1 Nephi 3:7, and it came to pass that I, Nephi, said unto my father, I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded. For I know that the Lord giveth no commandments unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way for them that they may accomplish the thing which he commandeth them. So really the Mormon is without excuse. If he is supposed to truly repent of all his sins, and of course we're going to talk about what that really means to a Latter-day Saint, if he's supposed to keep all the commandments, if he's supposed to keep his covenants, then we would assume from what it says in 1 Nephi 3:7 that he should have the ability to do so.
And D&C 131 very clearly says that God cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. And so with that being the case, how are we going to take care of the sin issue? If you're going to acknowledge you're not keeping covenants, what is the answer according to your religion?
And that is the million-dollar question, because we would say that we believe that the God of the Bible also will not look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. The problem, of course, is we are all sinners. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So how do we become clean from our sin? And folks, this is what separates Mormonism from Christianity. We believe we become clean because of what Jesus did for us. We're not denying that there are works involved, but they are not our works. They are the works of Christ, specifically the works of Christ. Whereas in Mormonism, they are told it is by their works. No doubt they're coupled with some grace, but they have to do the work also.
And that's what the article says, because keeping our covenants is essential to our happiness now and to eventually receiving eternal life.
Exactly. Tomorrow, we're going to be looking at what some of these covenants are that Latter-day Saints are supposed to make and keep.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Would you like to visit the Holy Land? If so, we've got an opportunity for you. Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson from Mormonism Research Ministry will be hosting a trip to Israel and Turkey in February 2015. We start with an optional 7-day trip to Turkey, as we'll see the seven churches of Revelation, including Ephesus, Laodicea, and Pergamum. Then, we head to Israel for 11 days, where we'll see amazing sights such as Caesarea, Upper Galilee, the Dead Sea, and Jerusalem. There'll be a special Joel Kramer Day as we climb up to Cave 1 in Qumran and see some incredible biblical sites. Your price includes airfare, 3- and 4-star hotels, professional guides and bus drivers, buffet meals, and all taxes and tips. To learn more, we invite you to visit mrm.org and click on the Israel icon in the top right-hand corner of the page. Every family who signs up receives a complimentary copy of Joel Kramer's Jericho Unearthed. Again, please visit mrm.org to find out more about this exciting trip. No doubt, an experience that will forever change your life.